Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Pacers have outscored the Thunder 23-11 here in the fourth quarter as we are winding down. God, this segment of the show is always just lit on flames. Because it's the first segment of the second hour, and it times up with the end of this game, the end of the NBA Finals. And it's always so chaotic. It's never just like, the game's never, it's just as chaotic is what I'm trying to say. And so now I'm doing the thing where I'm going to talk football for a little bit, but also be fully locked in on this game. And I still do care. I still am, you know, I feel like I've gotten to a better spot that I can handle it. But I still am actively rooting against the Indiana Pacers in this game. So I still am actively rooting against them. The Pacers looking to win at home. Teams with a 1-1 split when they win game three at home, then go on to win the finals 67% of the time. But the Thunder, the road team, when they win game one or game three in this situation, they then win 90% of the time. It's a big game, as you could imagine. And it's in Indiana, and Caitlin Clark's there. And the Pacers have yet to lose this postseason when Caitlin Clark has been in attendance. And with 3 minutes left, they're up eight. It seems like that may continue to be the trend here. This isn't a game where the Pacers have had to, you know, come back. They were down a little bit. They were down maybe 9 points or so in the second, but they don't have to have one of these insane 15-point comebacks in the last however many minutes. It actually would have to be the Thunder now tonight, down eight with 2.5 to go. You know, you watch the Thunder throughout, and they did lose game three to the Nuggets to go down 2-1, so they would still be in a familiar position if they did lose, and the Pacers have been up 2-1, I believe, in each series, though they would lose game three a lot of the times. But, yeah, it's still stunning to me how well the Pacers are playing. Like, they're good. I keep moving the goalpost. I say, okay, they're not a fluke. Okay, they're better than average. Okay, they're good. Okay, I mean, they might just even be great. This is a great basketball team. And nobody saw it coming these last 2 years. And even this year, they had a losing record at New Year's Day. Nobody saw it coming, and we still don't want to believe it. But, you know, you try to look at what's going to happen in this series. Every series the Pacers have had an improbable win. The chances of all four of those comeback wins that they've had to do them all four the way that they did all four, 1 in 75 million odds. You don't do that and then not win the title. So I got to become resigned to the fact that they probably will win this thing. If they do win the finals, I am just hoping that they don't win in five. That's the key. Because I keep having to be on air when the Pacers, they never do that on a weekend. It's always when we're on the air. And we're always so shell-shocked and have to deal with the fallout. But if they don't win in five, I'm off next Thursday, which would be game six. And that's for the best. You know, I really never try to be off when there's a big sporting event, but we've got a family thing planned, and I am going to do that. And also, I think it's better for everybody if I'm not on the air when the Indiana Pacers win the championship. So if they win in five, that would be next Monday. That would be terrible. I would be here. And then if they win in six, you'll get a real respectable show from somebody else. And then the seventh game would be on a Sunday, in which I will be, you know, that's my day of rest. So I will be not here either. I just don't want to have a meltdown. And I don't want you to have to listen to it. That's really what it's about. It's not about me. It's not about me. Because I feel like I put on a pretty professional outfit here. But when the Pacers have been winning these games, it really is me at, some might say, my most authentic and best. I don't feel good about it ever. So I would rather just not have to have you go through that experience. Some guys going through experiences in the NFL that they'd rather not be going through. Some holdouts going on across different camps. The big one being Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals did open up the line of communications again. They reached out to his camp on Monday, but no movement towards a new deal. They did allow Hendrickson permission to seek a trade back in March, but nothing has come forward. He is set to make in the next season here, he's set to make about $20 million, $21 million, and he's looking to make more than that. He's looking for an extension is what he's looking for, and he's even looking to get an extension that's more in line with some of these other extensions that are being given out. We've seen edge rushers get paid a lot of money. We saw Nick Bosa get a deal for $34 million annual value. We saw Max Crosby get one up to 35.5. Danielle Hunter, even with the Texans, is up to 35.6. Miles Garrett then got that four-year $160 million deal for the $40 million per. I don't know if the Bengals want to give him that. I don't know if that's what he's asking. But being the Bengals' best defender by far, he certainly thinks that he should be at least where Crosby and Hunter are in the $35 million range. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of good traction from either side. Ultimately, I still feel like the Bengals will get it done. I feel like they have to get it done. I mean, they absolutely have to get this deal done. They can't be without Trey Hendrickson. He is their best defender, and their defense last year was bad. I don't think the Bengals look at it this way. I think they just look at, you know, they're appeasing Joe Burrow, fine, so they sign his receivers, fine. But they would rather get in contract disputes than really firmly finalize a roster that is going to take them potentially to a Super Bowl. I think the Bengals have a Super Bowl team. I do. I would put the Buffalo Bills ahead of them. The Ravens are probably ahead of them. I think the Chiefs by default still get to be there, even though last year they had a much better record than their play was. Carlos, again, on record, saying they won't make the playoffs, standing by that.
That's right.
But I think when you look at what the consensus is, those are still going to be the three teams atop everybody's board. But I think the Bengals are right there. I don't think the Bengals should look at this. They've got, my thing with the Bengals is they've got their whole life to be cheap. They've been cheap up until now. They can be cheap after, but they've got Joe Burrow, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They were just in a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. You know, he gets hurt, and then last year the defense is bad. But I still think offensively they've got the pieces that they need. They re-sign their wide receivers. They're able to give out money. They just don't want to give out the money to anybody on defense. So I still feel like this will come to a point where they figure it out. I'd like to see Joe Burrow put on some more pressure maybe, like he vocally was for his receivers, because they're not going to do anything without a defense. Last year they're putting up 41 points a game and still losing games because of their defense. So they still need to figure this situation out as well. And then they have another issue with one of the guys that you think, oh, okay, well, if they need to replace some guys on defense, or if they're not going to work something out with Hendrickson, they drafted defense in the draft, first-round pick and pass rusher Shamar Stewart, and he's not happy right now with the contract because the Bengals haven't signed him yet. And how? These rookie contracts are pretty much, this is where you were drafted, this is how much you get, for how long? But the Bengals are trying to change part of the rookie contract. What they're doing is wedging in a new clause into the deal that would turn a default in any given year into a void of all remaining guarantees. So in Pryor's Bengals contracts, one of these voids wiped out only the guarantees for the year in which the default occurred. Basically, they're saying, we don't want to give you as much guaranteed money as we have to other guys in the past. Stewart doesn't want to be the guinea pig for this new sort of rule, and the Bengals are refusing to blink. So he's there. He's showing up, but he's not practicing. He's putting in the work, but he's not practicing until this is resolved, and this just seems like an unnecessary fight to try to pick from Cincinnati. They are in a position where they need guys on defense, and yet they are toying around with some of their guys on defense. Ultimately, I feel like if a player's good enough and he wants to be extended, the team should try to find a way to extend him. Trey Hendrickson is the third highest sack leader in the league in the last handful of years. It's not like he's bad. You know, not every guy that wants an extension is going to get an extension. And sometimes there's injury history, and maybe you're worried about the age, and Hendrickson's around 30, but still, this guy's giving you production, and there's no signs that it's going to slow down anytime soon. And again, with the Bengals, they've got their whole lives to be cheap. They've got their whole lives to be cheap. They actually have a Super Bowl window right now. So they should be taking advantage of that, and they seemingly are uninterested. And by the way, there's other guys that need contracts too. So Micah Parsons, who seemingly is going to go along with the ride. Schottenheimer, the coach there, has said, hey, just keep doing the right thing. This will get worked out. So he seems to be showing up in good faith, but he's going to get an extension. TJ Watt is another guy that doesn't want to practice until he gets an extension. You don't want to be the third one of the three to give out the extension, because then you're negotiating against those other contracts if the player's in the position where he wants to be the highest paid. And typically, these guys, when they sign these extensions, want to be the highest paid. Now, is $40 million too high? We saw Dak Prescott get $60 million, and then other quarterbacks, quote-unquote, settled for $55 million. So it doesn't always happen. Sometimes a guy makes a little too much, and then you bring it back down. Is $40 million going to be the new benchmark, or are we going to settle in that $35 million that Crosby and Hunter are making? But you don't want to risk that. I would not want to. If there's two other edge rushers that want new deals, I'm not messing around and signing my guy last. I'm trying to sign him first. Hendrickson wants to play in Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Bengals need their defense to have the one guy that's actually worth a damn on it, at least, you know, with all due. But they are still dragging their feet, and we'll see how long this goes on. Cincinnati is not a team that, because I think TJ Watt and the Steelers are going to work it out. And I think Micah Parsons and the Cowboys are going to work it out. But of the three situations, Cincinnati would be probably the most likely team to say, okay, let's see. Are you going to continue to miss? You know, you miss mini camp. Okay, we find you. You miss $100,000. That's a lot of money. But for an NFL player making $30 million a year, it's less so. And it's just part of the negotiation, you know, give and take. But then once you get into training camp, and once you get further down the road in the games, are you going to start missing games? You know, we've seen guys do that. Hassan Reddick was a case. It ends up costing these guys a lot of money that they don't eventually make back. Le'Veon Bell was a guy who did that at the running back position a long time ago. You end up not ever really recouping the money if you hold out deep enough into the regular season. So the Bengals, of all the teams, would feel like the one most likely to drag this thing out, because there's just a level with this organization, and you're seeing it with Shamar Stewart. They're going to try to save money everywhere they can, even in periods of time where they could compete for a Super Bowl. The other one to watch, Terry McLaurin. He's been great during the Jaden Daniels era, the start of it. Wasn't getting the numbers right away, but was committed to letting Daniels grow and not being a, you know, diva receiver. And then he ended up having maybe the best season of his career, 13 touchdowns. His catch rate was 70%. That's the highest of his career. They reached the NFC Championship game, but now he wants an extension. He wants to be in the $30 million per year range. So he's looking for an extension. They've got more cap room to give him that extension. They did trade for Deebo Samuel. Video going around of him looking a little, I don't want to say heavier than you would want him to be, but you can go check out the video and read the nasty comments on your own. So that one needs to get resolved as well. I guess if Trey Hendrickson got traded, okay, wow, surprise. But I think all of these end up getting resolved. They'll all get their extensions, and it's all just negotiation through the media. The Hendrickson one does seem the most contentious by far, though. Watt, I think, gets signed. Parsons gets extended. McLaurin, they'll figure that out. The Hendrickson situation, not so much. Well, NBA Finals Game 2, I did it. I was able to talk about something totally unrelated as my heart inside fell to my knees to watch the Pacers take a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll discuss how this happened, what it means going forward here on the Bart Winkler Show.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
That courtesy the Pacers Radio Network, as the Indiana Pacers now have a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals. 116-107, the result tonight. Much more on this game, but first, on tonight's installment of Doug Gottlieb is an Idiot, Doug Gottlieb, who is a Division I college basketball head coach, in reference to Aaron Nesmith, tweeted, "Of course Nesmith knows the rules. He did invent the game." 3 laughing emojis. I assume he's trying to make a reference to James Naismith, who is credited with inventing basketball. And the last name Naismith is not the same as the last name Nesmith. So that's pretty stupid and dumb. And I don't think that if you mix those up, you know, to make that error as a radio host is one thing. But if you're going to masquerade as a Division I coach, that's pretty sad.
This is me.
it's pretty pathetic. Doug Gottlieb, that is tonight's edition of Doug Gottlieb is Stupid. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Soldier of God tweeted me. Sports God 1. Bart Winkler Show in shambles. If win, Pacers win is the greatest thing ever. It's not luck. It's not a fluke. It's the same way the Bucks won their title, Bart. Had a deep roster with a bench of dogs. Defensive 3-and-D guys. Pacers have about 7-8 dogs and 3-and-D guys. So you'll be in shambles. my feelings on the Pacers aside, this is a truly surprising win. And not just the win, but the way they won it. So the Pacers are a good basketball team. There's no question. Nothing that you said there in that tweet is inaccurate. Pacers are a good team. And the Pacers have been clutch. And the Pacers have been dogs, if you want to say it. I mean, TJ McConnell. This is about as TJ McConnell of a game as you're going to have. 10 points, 5 steals, 5 assists. He stole an inbound just out of Caruso's hands. They were really solid tonight. Haliburton made big, timely shots, 22 points. Siakam kept him afloat when Oklahoma City started racing out to a lead, ended with 21. They usually get one big effort off the bench. Tonight it was 27 from Benedict Mathurin. Nembhard and Nesmith were in. Naismith actually invented basketball. Nesmith is on the Pacers. They got in some foul trouble early. Nesmith eventually fouled out, but they contributed in their ways. Turner with 5 blocks. Haliburton, as I mentioned, clutched 22 points. The Pacers are good. And what I was so interested to watch from a basketball perspective was the way the Pacers have been playing has been good. They've made the Cavs look worse than I thought they were at any other point in the season. They made the Knicks even look worse than I thought at any other point in the season. They take a team and they make them look like not the worst version of themselves, but they don't look as good. And that's credit to the Pacers. But the Thunder, I thought, were head and shoulders above any of these teams. And this finals is not over. It's 2-1. Thunder were down 2-1 to the Nuggets. It's not over. But if the Thunder are going to win, it's going to have to be in 7. They're not winning this in 6. They're not winning the rest of the games in this series. They get one more screw up. Because the Pacers are 2 wins away from an NBA Finals championship. Game 1, you can't let that happen. You can't freely give the Pacers away games because of how they play. They will win games. So to give them one was almost catastrophic in a way for them. And now tonight they lost. Tonight they lost. 32-18, the Pacers outscored the Thunder in the fourth quarter. Shea had 24 points. That's a series low for him. Jalen Williams at 26, but missed some free throws there at the end. Chet Holmgren, 35 minutes for him. Hartenstein only 18. They didn't get the bench production that they needed. They only had 18 points off the bench. Lou Dort hit some threes. They wasted a night there. They're still starting Case and Wallace. And now, you know, he hasn't been starting all playoffs. Now they're down 1-2 in this finals. Maybe there's some adjustment. But again, that was an adjustment they made prior to the series even starting. So even though tonight really shows and proves what the Pacers are as a basketball team, every trait that you can use to describe them, the grittiness, the attack dog, the clutch shot making, the transition basketball, the get in your face for 90 feet on defense, everything that they do, you saw them do tonight. There was a great example of it. It's just surprising that they're now able to look the Thunder. Like they're able to make the Thunder. Got it. Look like this. They looked not good. And I'm not going to say the Thunder played. The Pacers made them play poorly. There's a distinction. So the Thunder in that first game let one get away, relatively cruised, or at least did better in the second game. And then now in game three, just got flat out beat. Like the other night with the hockey game, we said Florida just beat down Edmonton. Kind of the same thing happened here. They just got beat by a team now that, again, is two wins away from an NBA title. Robert is in Winston-Salem. Robert.
Good evening, Coach Winkler.
What's up, my man?
Well, I wanted you to buck up about this series because it ain't the over. But if Indiana wins game four, it's over.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
Yeah. Well, let me also, listen, I'm down here in the South. I've lived in the Deep South, the Mid-South. And here's what I love about your show. You pay attention to pro football where it matters, the North and the North. So I love you, but here's the thing. Shake it off and look at the Stanley Cup and pull for Edmonton because they got Arvidsson and Ekholm, especially Arvidsson, right?
Hello? Yeah, former Milwaukee Admiral.
Thank you. That's what my reference was. God bless you and the work you do. Hang in there and keep coaching that young'un. Bye now.
All right, Robert, Thank you for the call. Do we not give enough football coverage to our friends in the South? I'm a big Atlanta Falcons guy. Just trying to think. Carolina, I think they'll do better. I haven't quit on Bryce Young, so that's pretty remarkable of me. College football, I think the SEC is drunk with power that they maybe no longer really have. Last 2 years, SEC, where you been? You don't like it, do you? So now we got to have the four auto bids? Get Alabama in there? Don't like that. Don't like that. We'll get more into the basketball here in a moment. Let's get David in Buffalo. David.
Hey, Bart. I appreciate you taking my call, man. Got to switch it up a little bit. We've got the U.S. Open coming up tomorrow. I went to Oakmont on Monday for one of the practice rounds, and that rough is unbelievable. I don't even think Doug Gottlieb could get out of it. It's so deep. but the one thing about it, man, is this course is probably one of the hardest courses in the world. The greens are probably as tough as Augusta. The bunkers are penal. They're a lot like the bunkers you see over in Scotland at the British Open in England, you see on those links courses. And it's so unique because this course used to have a lot of trees on it. If you remember back on in 94, that whole famous day with the O.J. Chase and all the other things going on in sports and Arnold Palmer retired, there were a ton of trees at Oakmont, and there's no more trees there anymore. So it's like playing an inland links course. It's super long. It's super difficult. I just think it favors Scheffler, DeChambeau, and I'll give you my dark horse pick. It'll be Harris English. But this course, man, it's going to come down to whoever drives it straight in the fairway and whoever, avoids the big numbers, man. It's going to be a tough test. It's a lot of fun going to it, but I wouldn't want to play that course every day. I played it a couple times, and it is, to quote the great Jim Ross, it is tougher than a $2 steak.
David, like that. Thanks for the call. Yeah, U.S. Open getting underway tomorrow. I guess Scheffler's my pick just because that's what I do. I'm just that guy. My pick is just Scottie Scheffler. I just pick Scottie Scheffler now. That's where I go. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll talk more Pacers, Thunder. The Pacers with a 2-1 series lead in the, not the first round, not the second round, not the conference finals, the NBA finals over the Oklahoma City Thunder. For more on that, let's get an update. Marco Belletti.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It is a pretty shocking result, the way that Indiana took care of the Thunder. It was at home for Indiana. They do well at home, so maybe not that much of a shock. But the Thunder were favored in this game, and they are coming into the series the better team. But that's why you play it out. I must admit, I thought after we saw game two, I thought, okay, maybe everything's in its right place here. We get things back to normal, and we see the Thunder wrap up this series pretty quickly. That will not be the case. Game four is massive. They lose that, it's probably over. 888-710-4476. Very interesting. The Pacers did lose on Sunday, and then Johnny in Atlanta did not call on Monday or Tuesday. And then the Pacers win, and right away, there he is on the phones. What a coincidence.
Well, I was on vacation, so I'm back at work now. So,
oh, yeah, the classic Monday-Tuesday vacation.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man, that was Friday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay.
Hey, but, man, you know, I can't give it up to Mathurin and T.J. McCullough. They showed up on the bench. They came out. But that they had a stat that the Pacers was with 6-for-20 from three. I'm like, doggone, we should be blown out by now. But it was only down by like six. I said, oh, we're gonna win this game. We was winning this game. So hey, these boys come to play. They come to play.
Yeah.
So hey, I'm just calling to tell you about that and everything. And then what's up with it? What's up with your Knicks, man? How you gonna lose, fire a coach, but then beg for other people, coaches, to coach your team? That don't make no sense.
So, I don't know. There's a lot. I thought there was just like a few select people, but there are a lot of people that are. And I guess I'm gonna hit you with one of the both things can be true. It can be true that the Knicks are doing their due diligence, but it's also very funny about what they are doing, asking all these other teams to interview their coach. And then getting no's. It does not appear to look like the Knicks had a master plan. So maybe this works out for them in the long run, but let's not try to carry water for an organization who those front office is not talking. Like, a lot of times they don't have to talk because the narrative gets written for them. Oh, the Knicks, no, they know what they're doing. They're of course you want to see if, you know, it doesn't hurt to see if Chris Finch is available. Chris Finch is not available. So you just look stupid.
Yeah, but I wanted to call and say, hey, Pacers up 2-1. We're going to finish it off in, wait, it'll go in game six. We finish it off in six, like I said, at the beginning. And I will call back if they lose.
Okay, yeah, it's Friday's the next game, so if they lose,
but we
gotta
win. We win it, so it doesn't matter.
You're going to win Friday, lose game five, win game six at home?
Yeah, that's how it'll go.
All right,
see you later.
All right, Johnny in Atlanta, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Mark's in California. Mark.
What's going on?
What up?
So, listen, what's going to happen is OKC is going to lose, and then the Knicks are going to go after and poach Mark from OKC. That's probably how it's going to go. Or they're going to try to poach Carlisle. That's probably how it's going to go.
Yeah, I think Carlisle will coach and Daigneault will be an assistant.
I mean, listen, he's having a horrendous NBA Finals. He is Tibbings. Listen, I'm going to continue to use that bar because I trademarked that, by the way. Teams are Tibbings because, you know, we had Tibbs. And it's sad to see him go, bro, because he's had such a lot of great moments with the Knicks, but a lot of bad moments, too. But, like, why are you continuously playing Cason Wallace? Like, what? He wasn't even in the starting lineup to start the season or even end the season or anywhere in the season. And, like, and Caruso is just there for defense. But Isaiah Joe, who should play more, but he doesn't. And then he had the debacle in in you know, game one, where he didn't even play his centers in the fourth quarter and they got out rebounded 7-2. You know, the good thing for OKC, Bart, me and you both rooting for Indiana, is that it was close till the fourth quarter. It was neck and neck. And so, you know what I mean? If OKC can continue to play like that in their building, you know, you got a chance to win, because you're not going to hold SGA to 24 points every game. But it seemed like everyone's saying on Twitter, I don't know if you see it, but, oh, you know what, OKC's tired. No, they're not. They're taking dumb shots. They're shooting threes. I mean, you saw Holmgren had Williams open in the corner, and he did on the block by Turner, and he decides to take a three with Turner literally right in his face. Like, it baffles me. Halliburton only plays good at home. Literally only plays good at home. He's a
maybe they were tired. That was one thing with the Cavs. Like, the Cavs looked really tired against nobody else except the Pacers. Maybe the Thunder were tired. The Pacers were on their ass like the whole game.
I mean, that's true, but then you could also argue that hypothetically, because I really like doing hypotheticals part here, if the Knicks were to get to the finals, the Knicks would handle OKC. The Knicks played, think about it, Miles Turner is all over the place. He was nowhere to be found in the Knicks series. Outside of Nesmith having one good game, Nesmith stunk up the joint against the Knicks series. But Nembhard stunk up the joint. T.J. McConnell had his, you know, his 10 points. That's what he's going to get. But Obi Toppin stunk up the joint. Outside of Halliburton's, you know, shots, to me, bro, if Indiana wins it, I think this run's bigger than 2011 for Carlisle. Just because they weren't even supposed to be here.
Sure.
Like, at all. Weren't even supposed to be here. And I understand, you know, Milwaukee, no disrespect to Milwaukee, but they were going to beat you guys, right? I didn't think that.
Yeah, Milwaukee the Bucks weren't. They were in the, yeah.
But Cleveland, though, Cleveland losing two starters, and the way that they dismantled them, and then we beat Boston, and everyone's like riding high on the Knicks, like it's over, we got a chance, we're healthy, blah, blah, blah. And the series was very close, but they beat us. And so outside of Tibbs closing out a couple of games, Indiana should go up, you know? But listen, nothing's going to beat the 2016 Warriors, 16-1, nothing's beating that. So to have it the greatest finals run of all time, yeah, but it'll be up there because they weren't even supposed to be here. But
yeah, and they've had Mark, thanks for the call. Good to talk to you. Each series has been like you get one of those kind of games. Their comeback against Milwaukee, their comeback against Cleveland, their comeback against the Knicks, their comeback against the Thunder. You get one of those games in a playoff run when you win. You know how like in no hitters in baseball, there's always like one insanely good defensive play to keep the no-hitter going? There's never like four of them. There's never like four diving catches. That'd be absurd. And this is absurd. Got a couple minutes before the end of the hour. Let's get Jeff in New Orleans. What's up again, Jeff?
Hey, Bart. How you doing tonight, buddy? You sound like you're in a great mood, my friend.
I'm faking it till I make it, Jeff.
Oh, you're doing a good job of it. Listen, I know I called. This is my third day in a row, and it's because, you know, Monday I called in, and then y'all had some questions I heard off the air. So I called in Tuesday to answer that, tell you where I've been for the last 24 years. Then when I got off the air last night, there were a few more comments that I wanted to just clear up briefly. So, you know, somehow, Bart, I don't know how I left the Bartometer off of my favorite segments. I was too lazy to go in the bedroom and grab the Bart Winkler Journal, my little book I use to keep notes in.
That's fair.
And if I'd have had that with me, I would have had that. You know, I have to use that. That's how I rank my callers and things like that. By the way, David in Buffalo, I just moved my list from a 5 to a 6. I put him in there. I got him with 5 calls that I've heard. I got him on 5 stars, and I got him on 4 stars on 1. So he's number 6 right now. And that's, I'm only going to go to 10, and then I'm going to stop. But anyway, the other thing was I want to apologize to Carlos with a K for not checking in with him first before I blurted out Special K on the air. I did not realize that that was a horse tranquilizer, or I would have never said that.
Carlos, are you forgiven? Is he forgiven?
No apology was necessary. I don't think that's common knowledge that people know that Special K is a horse tranquilizer. The cereal, yes, which sometimes tastes like a horse tranquilizer, but the drug itself, I think that's not, you know, common knowledge.
It's news to me.
Well, Bart, I was going to ask Carlos if he mind calling, if he mind me calling him Carlos with a Special K.
Carlos?
That made me laugh. So I
you can
guess.
you can give me a bell or a buzz, either one.
Sure.
All right, you got the buzz or the bell.
Appreciate that. I won't wear it out, brother. I promise you that. But anyway, Bart, that's pretty much it, man. I don't have enough to bring to the program yet. I'm just by the way, I'm tuning in a little bit late. Did Robert in Annapolis call yet?
No Robert yet, Jeff.
All right, good. I hadn't missed anything. I'm going to wait for him. It was great talking to you tonight, Bart. You have a good evening, sir.
All right, that's Jeff in New Orleans clearing up why he left the Bartometer off the list. He named every segment yesterday that he liked. But not, he even named the Bulletin Blitz, I believe. But not the Bartometer. The Thunder fall to the Pacers in Indiana. So, okay. Maybe should have seen it coming, but really the dominance I wanted to see in the series, if they could play Pacer basketball against the Thunder. They have proved that and then some. We'll hear more from you coming up, 888-710-4476.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Ryder remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.